Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Other recognizable names on the team, Patrick Baldwin Jr., who's a consensus five-star prospect, likely one-and-done player, who's going to play for his father at the Division I level. He made the team. Chet Holmgren, who is regarded as the number one player in America going to Gonzaga. He made the team. And Jaden Ivey, whose mother is Nielle Ivey, former Grizzlies assistant, now the head coach at Notre Dame, he made the team. So 12 players representing USA basketball. Kennedy Chandler from right here in Memphis, he is one of them.
Story number three.
Travelers Championship is underway, round two in Connecticut. Jason Day and our friend from yesterday, Kramer Hickok, are tied.
What's Kramer doing?
Tied at the top of the leaderboard.
Okay, man.
They're both 9 under par. Jason Day is 8 under through 17, so he's gone real low today. And Hickok is 9 under for the tournament through 14, so he's still got holes to play. Interesting, Bryson DeChambeau is 5 under par. He just finished his round. Brooks Koepka, 4 under par. He just finished his round earlier today. So they are both done. They're both going to make the cut. They will not be paired with each other, but they're in range enough to where you could reasonably hope that they shoot something similar tomorrow and they'd get paired together for the final round of the Travelers Championship. But again, some of the big names: Brooks Koepka, 4 under par. Bryson DeChambeau, 5 under par. Patrick Reed, also 5 under par. It's a pretty good field at the Travelers, given that it's the week after the U.S. Open.
Story number four.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin sentenced to 22 and a half years in prison today for the murder of George Floyd. George Floyd's family members spoke in court. Derek Chauvin's mother spoke in court. Derek Chauvin spoke in court very briefly, but his statement was kind of weird, although he did offer condolences to the Floyd family. 22 and a half years, he could have been given more. This is not the maximum he could have gotten for second-degree murder in the state of Minnesota, but the judge only gave him 22 and a half. He's guaranteed to spend 15 of it, but he would be eligible for supervised release after 15 years for the remaining 7.5 years. Too much, too little? How you feel about this, Bennett? I'll ask you an easy question.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I think that it seems fine. I mean, I think it's fair. The guy's going to jail for a long time, and he deserves it. So
I tell you this.
I'll take it.
If George Floyd would have killed Derek Chauvin, he'd have done more than 22 and a half years.
That's probably true, actually. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad some justice was served. How about that?
How about that? Let's just stop there and recognize that we're watching a police officer be held accountable in a real way, 2 decades in prison, possibly.
Yeah.
For killing a black man on the streets of Minneapolis. Like, it is a light sentence relative to what it should have been, but it's better than what we usually get in these situations.
Sure.
At least somebody is actually being held responsible. And just in the spirit of fairness, some of this does come down to sentencing guidelines and, like, your, you know, criminal past. And Derek Chauvin has no criminal past. You know, he went from no criminal record to murderer. You know, that's not usually the way these things go.
Sure.
So his lack of a criminal past is a contributing factor to the sentence. So if you're looking for an explanation why didn't he get more, some of it is because he has no criminal past to speak of. Either way, the sentence, 22 and a half years in prison, eligible for supervised release.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After 15, Jeff Calkins up next.
Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live on Memphis' sports station. 92.9 FM ESPN with 92.9's Jeff Calkins now and every day around 5 p.m.
Yeah, the feeling goes, but my hair keeps growing.
New Amsterdam Vodka, it's a premium 80-proof vodka made for the finest quality grains. 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. I'm sure you know by now it is so smooth you can drink it straight. And I promise you, it's what I buy when I'm in the liquor store, and that's because it's a quality vodka that is reasonably priced. Makes no sense whatsoever to spend extra money on any other brand. New Amsterdam Vodka is the best value you're going to find when you're looking for a quality vodka to enjoy in these warm months. And if you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon, lemon, raspberry, orange, red berry, peach, pineapple, coconut. The list is long. If you don't see the flavor you want in your favorite store, ask them to get it for you. They can. And if you're on a gluten-free diet, understand that New Amsterdam also makes a gluten-free vodka. It's got a brown label. If you don't see it in your favorite store, ask them. They can get it for you. Ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, restaurant, or a liquor store. It's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web. NewAmsterdamSpirits.com.
I'm sorry.
Jeff Calkins is an award-winning comics, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show weekdays 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Joins me every day after 5. He's here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good, GP.
So I was talking about the NC State Vanderbilt situation in Omaha at the College World Series. It's my favorite story of the day. Irresponsible and short-sighted, unvaccinated people having to pay real consequences for their decisions. I root for stuff like this. So I was talking about it, and I got a tweet from somebody. The name doesn't matter because it's a fake name. They're so sure of their opinions, they can't even use the real name. And here's what this person tweeted me. Said, people aren't anti-vaccination. They're anti the government forcing them to do anything. Let's stop here for a second. FYI, the government isn't making anybody do anything. They're just encouraging you to do a certain thing. And either way, what's happening in Omaha today has literally nothing to do with the government. It's got everything to do with NCAA COVID protocols. The tweet continued. If the election had turned out differently, boy, wouldn't that have been a nightmare. If the election had turned out differently, you'd be the biggest anti-vaxxer in the world. Really? I would never be the biggest anti-vaxxer in the world. Let me explain why. Because anti-vaxxers are idiots. I, on the other hand, am I'm an educated person who believes in science. So I would never be an anti-vaxxer, regardless of who the president of the United States happened to be. I promise you, if we were in the second term of Donald Trump, first term of Joe Biden, or the first term of literally any other human in the country, once my doctor and the other doctors in this country said it is safe and smart to get the vaccine, I'd have been lined up to get 2 shots in my arms as soon as possible. Couldn't wait to get vaccinated. Couldn't wait for my wife to get vaccinated. Couldn't wait for my oldest son to get vaccinated, my parents to get vaccinated. And as soon as my little guys are okay to be vaccinated, we'll be the first ones in line.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about it is that, I mean, whatever you think about Donald Trump, one of the things he very clearly got right was the importance of vaccines, right? I mean, like, Warp Speed was about getting vaccines done quickly. where some European countries equivocated and said, listen, we want to make sure we get the best price on vaccines. We're not going to jump right in and buy a herd. We're going to, you know, which vaccine. They wanted, the U.S. went ahead and ordered a whole buttload of vaccines. And because of that, we are doing better than a whole lot of other countries when it comes to vaccines. And that's not all Trump, but he very clearly had a lot to do with it. And then it was accelerated or continued or however you want to put it, by Joe Biden. Like, the one thing that both of these presidents seem to agree on was the significance of vaccines. So I would be, that's one reason why it's a little weird that some of his supporters are among those who seem to be the least, persuaded that they should be vaccinated, given how significant Donald Trump thought it was, given the fact that he himself was vaccinated. Like, it just makes no sense to me. Do we know, by the way, like with Chris Paul, we never knew exactly what happened.
Well, we do know with Chris Paul. He was vaccinated and he still popped positive.
And he still got it. Okay, yeah. So do we know that these are irresponsible people who tested positive?
We know.
Like, I don't know if you read Pat Forty's column about his daughter. The Olympian, Pat Forty, of course, is the longtime columnist, covers college sports in particular, now with Sports Illustrated. His daughter had COVID once and then got tested positive again. But then, they figured out it was a false positive. And so she was able to swim. She got a place on the Olympic team, et cetera. Do we know if it was irresponsible NC State baseball players, or if they were vaccinated like Chris Paul?
Well, the reporting is that a significant number of North Carolina State baseball players were not vaccinated, and it is unclear the positive cases, whether those specific players were vaccinated or not. What is crystal clear is that anybody knocked into isolation because of contact tracing is only in isolation
because they would not have been
held to contact tracing standards if they would have been vaccinated.
Yeah, it's just, the thing is that the stakes are just so high. And again, we will see this for college. We'll see this for NFL teams. We will see this for college football teams. We've seen it at a golf tournament.
Right.
We have seen it here. And we will see it more and more that unvaccinated folks and people who selfishly put their team at risk by listening to the chorus of the know nothing chorus, they'll pay real consequences. And then you do hope that what it does is it says, okay, maybe we better go ahead and get it done. But as you've seen, it's John Rahm's example. Did nothing to persuade Cole Beasley that he should be vaccinated, right?
Right.
Cole Beasley, what an idiot. Truly, what an idiot.
Like, at what point, it is, I know how calling people stupid comes across to some people. I got it, right? I understand. You don't have to tweet me. Like, I'm not lacking self-awareness there. But, like, at what point do you, like, why can't these people, like, if you look at the least vaccinated states and then look at the least educated states, it's the same states. Why?
Well, I honestly, like, okay, even if the NC State fans or whoever else aren't vaccinated, that's all fine. I really don't understand the baseball team. Like, they're trying to win the College World Series, right? And more and more, everything is more and more opened up. You have more and more, you're able to hang out with your parents. You're able to do different things, whatever. The press conferences and things were Zoom, but there was a lot more relaxation that, you know, the fans are there in full force. So it would just seem to me to be, listen, I in the same way that you wouldn't go out partying the night before a game just because you want to be at your best, I would think it's the same for the same reason. You would make sure you were vaccinated because you sure would hate to have, your team decimated by contact tracing and by positive tests when you're embarked on something that presumably is a lifetime dream.
That's the thing I don't get. Like, if you want to be 22 years old and just irresponsible, I'm not getting a vaccine, then whatever. I don't even care anymore. But, like, if you're part of a team and you jeopardize your personal goals, your team goals, your friends, like, that just seems – I can't even comprehend that. Like, let's say that I was a 21-year-old anti-vaxxer who played college baseball. And we're in the middle of a college baseball season, and the vaccine is available to me. And my athletic director, coach, anybody sits down with us as a team and says, listen, guys, we obviously can't make you get vaccinated. So, like, let's start the conversation there. We can't make you do anything. But I need to explain to you, we're pretty good. Like, we're ranked 6th in the country right now. How many of you think we're going to the College World Series? Everybody's hand goes up. Okay, good. I think we are, too. When we get there, we are going to be subject to testing. Everybody who is not vaccinated will also be subject to more testing and contact tracing. And if you're on the fence and you're looking for a reason to get vaccinated, it is because if you're not, you could get contact traced, even if you're never sick and never test positive, you could get contact traced straight out of the College World Series. And we could be in a situation where we don't have any pitching, where we're having to play pitchers in the infield. Like, we could be one win away from the College World Series finals and have half our team wiped out by contact tracing. So I don't know if that moves any of you, but boy, that is my personal nightmare, that we work as hard as we work to get to this place where we want to get and then have contact tracing knock us out. Understand, if we're vaccinated, we will not be subject to contact tracing. We'll be fine even if somebody tests positive. So we can't make you do something, but I hope something I just said.
Right. Oh, I get more than that. And tomorrow our team is going to get vaccinated at the Pipkin Center, and I hope you're with us.
Right. Just, you know, like, I don't understand how you could listen to that as a member of a team and go, nope, still not doing it. I just don't comprehend that.
Well, maybe if your mom and dad are like, ah, stupid, don't do it, whatever. Here's the funny thing. I actually don't understand why the person who tweeted at you said – doesn't want the government. What they're anti is the government making you do things, right?
Oh, I know why. Because the people, same people who say those things are just dumb. There's no nice way to put it.
No. But first of all, the government, of course, makes you do lots of things. But putting that aside, this isn't about the government doing things. There are lots of entities that are going to make you do things. Like Morgan Stanley has very clearly said that if you want to keep working here, you're going to be vaccinated. Duke is very clear to said to my as my son to my son Peter, if you want to come back in the fall, you're going to be vaccinated. Not we encourage you to be vaccinated, but you're going to be vaccinated. I actually, you know, politically they can't do it because most of these schools are Southern schools and there's no appetite to make people get vaccinated. I don't really understand why you can't. Now, however, having said that, let me play devil's advocate for a minute. This is what if I was actually that person who was tweeting at you, but I wanted to make a real point, okay? Here would be my real point. It would be, you know, Gary, you say this, but you shouldn't be mad at the people who aren't vaccinated. You should be mad at the fact that when pretty much everyone acknowledges that that COVID is dramatically reduced, that we don't really have a pandemic anymore. And that 22-year-olds, and even if you happen to get it, don't get particularly sick, the real rule is that we have these stupid contact tracing rules. And that's what should happen. You shouldn't be mad at the people who aren't vaccinated. You should be mad that half a team was knocked out because of stupid contact tracing rules, which are no longer necessary in these circumstances. How about that? What would you say to that?
I would say that sounds a lot like arguing that the speed limit's too low after you just got a speeding ticket. Like, you might have a point, but it's beside the point. You know, like, right. You know, like, I guess I'd put it this way. You know, I hate wearing collared shirts. I never wear them in my everyday life. The only time I wear them is on the golf course because it is required. I would be so in favor of a really nice golf course offering memberships, and then you don't have to wear a collared shirt. You could just wear a T-shirt if you want to. We don't care about proper golf attire anymore. Like, that's what I would be in favor of. I'd be so much more comfortable. I love I wear a t-shirt to the golf course and then change in the parking lot. And then as soon as I get off the golf course, I change back into a t-shirt. I hate wearing collared shirts. But if I showed up tomorrow morning at TPC Southwind in a t-shirt and tried to tee off, they would stop me. Because there are rules in place, and I knew the rules, and it doesn't matter what I think of the rules. The rules are the rules. Everybody has known for a long time what COVID protocols were going to be at the College World Series. You can either adjust to be in accordance with them, or you can put your team at risk if you don't. Every player who didn't get vaccinated for NC State or any other team, by definition, put their team at risk. They knew what they were doing when they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and now they're paying the consequences for it. Like, I personally think marijuana should be legal in all 50 states. I don't understand why it isn't. But if my son got busted with a pound of weed in his car today, I wouldn't call and yell at the cops. I would sit my son down and go, what the F were you doing with a pound of weed in your car? Like, I personally don't care if you smoke, but, like, driving around with a pound of weed in your car is wildly irresponsible. You're on your way to an incredible university, and you've just jeopardized everything. For what? You know the laws. You know you can't do that. You were being stupid. Once my son gets busted with a pound of weed, I'm in no position to yell about marijuana laws. I'm in a position to yell at my son for not recognizing he was in wild violation of current marijuana laws, regardless of how I feel about him. Same thing with this. If you want to have an actual conversation about whether we should still have contact tracing with young, healthy baseball players, I'll actually listen to that. But to me, that's beside the point of this specific situation. You knew what the rules were. You knew what they were going to be. You set yourself up to be a casualty of this, and now here you are. You get what you get. I don't feel sorry for you.
Oh, I don't feel sorry for them at all. They absolutely get what they deserve.
Did I answer okay? Did I address your issue fine?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, but you and I can still have the discussion about whether it's appropriate to have contact tracing. Like, do we know for certain? I mean, I saw Dan, who you had on earlier. I saw he was tweeting about this. Do we know for certain that college football is still going to have contact tracing, strict college tracing?
Yes, yes.
Rules and impact.
Yes, Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, was on with Paul Feinbaum today, and he was asked about this issue at the College World Series with NC State, and Greg Sankey said, the one thing I have told all of our coaches, especially our football coaches, is that there are two ways. At this point, there are only two ways to avoid contact tracing and having people on your team, positive or not, isolated and placed into quarantine for periods of time. There's only two ways to avoid it. One, don't have any positive test on your team. Well, good luck with that. Or two, get vaccinated. Then you're not subject to contact tracing. So Greg Sankey more or less said, I've been telling our coaches nonstop, you need to get your players vaccinated. It doesn't matter what you think of contact tracing. Contact tracing is going to be a thing for the unvaccinated. And therefore, if your players are unvaccinated, you're going to get contact traced into quarantine. If they are vaccinated, they will not be subject to contact tracing. So if you want to avoid contact tracing, this is the thing every football coach in America was screaming about last season. It wasn't, oh, my God, we've got 11 players who have tested positive. It was, oh, my God, we got 3 players who have tested positive and 15 that are in quarantine because of contact tracing. I know a basketball coach who had a player placed into quarantine three different 10-day periods, and that player never actually tested positive. But he was just contact traced 3 times into quarantine. If you want to avoid it, you must be vaccinated. These NC State players, they knew that. I promise you somebody had this conversation with them. They still chose not to do it, and now they're losing to Vanderbilt.
Do you believe that Alabama will be mostly vaccinated? Just because Saban is Saban? Like, you imagine being Nick Saban and, like, you want to control what you can control, right? Can you imagine having your season subject to the good or bad fortune of whether there happens to be a positive test and whether people happen to have been vaccinated? I have to think, like, if I could bet right now on what is going to be the most heavily vaccinated SEC football team, I'm going to bet Alabama is.
I would think so. Because, like, I mean, how do you defy Nick Saban? You know?
Yeah, control what you can control. Control the process. Do the right thing. Like, the next right thing. Like, it's that's totally what he, like, 100%. Now, again, he can't make them because that's not what universities in the South are doing. But I have to think he'll figure out a way to get most of those players vaccinated.
I would assume so. I think where you're going to have problems is in these mostly unvaccinated states with football programs or coaches at football programs who aren't anywhere close to what Nick Saban represents. Like, I mean, it's so frustrating. Like, you know, I there's a million different ways to look this stuff up. But one, you know, story that I read recently was like, you look at the 10 states with the lowest rates of fully vaccinated adults, and it lines up almost identically with the 10 states or, you know, that are the least educated states in this country or that have the lowest IQs in this country. Like Mississippi right now, my home state, has the lowest, as of late May, had the lowest rate of fully vaccinated adults. Only 34.4% of Mississippians at the end of May were fully vaccinated. Well, guess what is also the least educated state in the United States? Mississippi. Number two in terms of vaccination rate, like the worst in the country. Number two, Alabama. Alabama also top five least educated state in the country. So this is where it gets frustrating for me. You've got a whole bunch of uneducated people who think they're smarter than the most brilliant doctors in the country, and they swear by it. Like they think they're right, but like I just can't imagine not being self-aware enough to go, you know what? I am uneducated, living in one of the least educated states in the country. Perhaps I don't know as much about this as like the actual health officials and doctors. Maybe I should just trust them on this one. You know, like I trust my doctor when it comes to medical stuff. Like I have no idea whether I actually need, like I wouldn't know independent of my doctor whether I need to be on a cholesterol medicine or not. But when he tells me I do, I don't try to argue with him. I say, okay, I'm called into the CVS at Get Well on Church Road. I'll go pick it up. I'll take it every night before I go to bed. I just trust my doctor. And I don't understand why more people don't just trust their doctors. Like if your doctor, if you actually have a doctor and he sits you down and tells you, no, you shouldn't get the vaccine, I'd be interested in hearing from that doctor. But best I can tell, most doctors aren't telling their patients that, if any doctors are telling their patients that.
Yeah. So do I feel bad? No, I don't. I don't feel bad for NC State.
I want Vanderbilt to beat them by 50 today and by 65 tomorrow.
That seems unlikely. But yeah, no. I mean, I hate to say it. Like, you do hope that people then – but that's not what's going to happen. The people who are dug in will just say, you know what, that it's the rules are stupid. Can you believe it? What an injustice. That's the only –
And you know what? I'm willing to, like, acknowledge. Maybe the protocols are – I wouldn't go with stupid, but overly cautious. You know, like, I don't know, but I don't – I can imagine that. I can see where somebody's coming from when they say the protocols at this point in the pandemic should not be there. Like, okay, maybe you have a point there.
I actually still don't see that. Like, why? Like, it's because the protocols only kick in if someone actually is a positive test, right?
Oh,
so
like,
they're around someone who tested positive. So I would want those people then to not be continuing to mingle with other people. Like, honestly, I don't think they are too. I was just making. Oh. I was being devil's advocate when I made the argument. Well, they only kick in when someone actually does test positive, and then they do affect the people around them, because that means they were in contact with someone who tested positive, and we don't really want the sucker to come back.
Yeah. The only point I'm making there when I say, okay, maybe you have a point, is like I'm willing to concede. I'm trying to show you I'll meet you on some common ground over here, but it has nothing to do with what happened today. Again, if my kid got busted with a pound of marijuana, I wouldn't then yell about marijuana laws, even if I disagree with marijuana laws. I'd yell at my kid and say, yo, you knew the law. It doesn't matter whether you think the law's stupid. And if you do think the law's stupid, guess what? I do too. I agree with you. You should be able to have a pound of weed if you want to. I don't understand how you can drive around with a trunk full of New Amsterdam vodka, but you can't have a bag of weed. It's a weird country. It's a weird country, you know? But that's where we are, for better or worse, and I'd argue worse. So until the laws are changed, you cannot drive around with weed in your, with a pound of weed in your car.
We had an example of this at the when Memphis went to the Final Four, right? Point guard.
Yeah. Andre Allen tested positive.
Andre Allen tested positive, right. And yeah. He could have said, listen, this is the dumbest thing. We live in this state, in this country, where if you test weed, you can't play basketball. Why not? Why can't I smoke weed and play basketball in the Final Four? But he tested positive, and that was it for him. Andre Allen.
It's the exact same thing. Like, do I think Andre Allen should have been tested for weed after the Elite Eight game? No. I think it's ridiculous. Do I think a positive weed test should prevent somebody from playing in the Final Four? No. It doesn't prevent people from playing in the NBA Finals. I don't think it should prevent somebody from playing in the Final Four. But at that, once you...
But he was selfish to do it, wasn't he? He was selfish to be tested positive.
I mean, yeah, like, I'm not trying to, you know, 13 years later call Andre Allen selfish.
What I'm saying is the same people who would say he was selfish should acknowledge that the NC State players were selfish. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Well, like, how about this? We went to the Final Four as a CBS crew, and we were under stricter protocols than it appeared anybody else, you know? Like, my friends at ESPN were like, hey, you want to go out to dinner tonight? We're not allowed to. we're not allowed to do it. You know, at the Final Four, we were not allowed to go out to dinner to do anything. You could go for a walk outside or stay in your room. You could not go to a bar. You could not go to a restaurant. I was fully vaccinated at the Final Four. I felt, how about this? I was in New York a week earlier and out to dinner often. But once we got to the Final Four, we were all under different protocols. I don't know that I agreed with them. But I also just said, doesn't matter if I agree with them. This is what I'm being told I have to do. And me not doing it, you know, if I were to go out to a bar tonight and get caught, then anybody who worked on set with me the next day could be subject to contact tracing, and then they might not be able to do their jobs. And like, I want to cause all that. So I just sat in my room, you know, and I wondered, man, I would it really be so bad if I could go get a dinner? And I got bored pretty quickly. Like, it's not fun sitting in a hotel room 20 hours a day. But, you know, I didn't understand the point in complaining about it. Like, I knew what the rules and protocols were before I even got on a plane to go to Indianapolis. And similarly, these NC State baseball players, they knew what the protocols were before they ever got on a plane to go to Omaha. And they still chose to handle their situations the way they handled them. And today, they got a hard dose of reality. Hard lesson to learn. And I don't even know if it's a lesson learned, but it is a consequence paid. Go Vanderbilt. Eliminate them. Eliminate
go
the little.
Go Doors. Go Doors.
Go Doors. Anchor down. Eliminate the COVID wolf pack.
Okay, GP. Tough love.
Hey, tough love. But you got to sometimes you got to go through things like this to teach young people lessons. I'll see you later. I got a Dateline preview to do. I'll talk to you later. Vanderbilt up 3-1, bottom of the ninth. So NC State, it's three outs away from losing, and then they'd have to play Vanderbilt again tomorrow in what would be an elimination game for both teams. And, you know, if you go into quarantine today, you ain't out by tomorrow. So they're going to have 13 players again tomorrow. The same 13 players today that will be available to them, presumably, tomorrow. It's a tough lesson to learn, but people tried to tell you.
Yep.
This wasn't hard to imagine. People tried to tell you. Be back in a sec. We're still in the bottom of the ninth in Omaha, Big Bet Bennett.
Oh, yeah? What's going on?
The COVID Wolfpack, first and second, two outs. That means the tying run is on base, and the winning run, a run that would eliminate the non-COVID Commodores, is at the plate.
Oh, my.
There is drama in Omaha. I am rooting for Vanderbilt against NC State. I am anxious to watch the unvaccinated pay for their consequences for their decisions.
Good luck.
Are you on board with me? Do you also root against the unvaccinated Wolfpack, or you're indifferent to it?
I frankly don't care.
You strike me as indifferent.
I'd be lying if I told you I knew one thing about NC State baseball before today.
Here's all you need to know. Let me tell you all you need to know about NC State baseball. They had too many players not get vaccinated in advance of the College World Series, which made them subject to contact tracing, and now their team has been forced into elimination game tomorrow.
Let's go, Doors. Did it just happen?
It's over.
Let's go, Doors.
A ground ball to short, 6-4 for the final out. Vanderbilt wins it 3-1, and the COVID Wolfpack will now have to play Vanderbilt again tomorrow in an elimination game for both teams. And they will presumably also, once again, only have 13 players because the rest of the team is either positive or contact traced into quarantine.
Also, Vanderbilt, they don't have, like, a lot. Like, this is their thing. They have this baseball team. You know, they lost their basketball team. You know that. Like, their basketball team.
Basketball's terrible.
They ain't what they used to be. And the football team is the doormat of the SEC. So they deserve this. They got this baseball team. Good luck to the Doors.
And I think, I'm not sure, but I think Jack Leiter pitches tomorrow.
Okay. So we get to see, like, real star.
So NC State will be facing Jack Leiter, presumably, with only 13 players available because of positive test and contact tracing. You get what you get.
Anchor down, baby.
Anchor down, baby. We'll be back. I got a Dateline preview.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com. You know Lee and Lauren Cooper. They've been with the Gary Parrish Show since day one for more than 11 years. And the entire time, they've been selling all types of computers and repairing all types of computers for people throughout the city. High-end machines, low-end machines, middle-of-the-road machines, desktops, notebook, tablets, big brands like Dell, HP, Lenovo, Asus, Apple. Yep, you can get Apple products at Cooper Systems, and usually at a fraction of the price you're going to get them at an Apple store. We're talking about anything you need. They either got it, or they can get it, or they can build it for you. The great thing about Cooper Systems is that they have a variety. Again, high-end, low-end, middle of the road. So you tell Lee and Lauren or any of the consultants at Cooper Systems what you're going to use the computer for. Like, are you making videos or are you just playing around on Facebook and YouTube? Like, those are two different computers. You don't want to pay for a MacBook Pro if you're not going to do all the things a MacBook Pro is going to do. Like, if you're just going to be messing around on Facebook, emailing, and playing on YouTube, like, you'd have a MacBook Pro. It'll look cool when you're at the coffee shop, but you're paying a lot of money just to be on Facebook and YouTube. At Cooper Systems, you'll be able to get a computer that's perfectly suited for you. If it's perfectly suited for you, it's going to be a better price for you. You won't be paying for a bunch of stuff you'll never use. 360-9679, 360-9679, Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
Whole bunch of stuff. But I think the most important thing is, and I hate that the NC State baseball players had to learn it this way, but the most important thing we learned is that there are real consequences for not getting vaccinated when you're a member of a sports team that is competing in an event where there are COVID protocols in place. If the NC State baseball team was vaccinated from player one to the last player on the roster, they would have been missing somebody today, but not this many people today. But because they had so many unvaccinated people on the roster, when somebody popped positive, a good portion of the team got knocked out into quarantine because of contact tracing that they would not have been subjected to had they been vaccinated. The byproduct of that, they barely had a team to play Vanderbilt today. And Kumar Rocker, who's like about to be a top five pick. So they lost 3-1, and now they got to play Vanderbilt again tomorrow, shorthanded, once again. And if they lose that one, the season is over. Paying real consequences for not doing what they should have done as an American citizen first and foremost, but mostly as a team player. So now, their season's probably not going to end where it otherwise might have ended, and they'll have to live with that regret for a good long while.
What's the biggest game tonight?
NBA playoffs. Eastern Conference Finals Game 2. Hawks Bucks in Milwaukee inside Fiserv Forum. Hawks lead the series 1-0 after Trae Young got 48 points in Game 1. Milwaukee, 8.5-point favorite tonight. Big Bet Bennett has bet his feet that the Bucks will cover the 8.5.
Yeah.
Boy, be a hell of a deal to lose your hands and your feet in the same week.
I'm not worried about it. Bucks getting this one easily tonight.
I'm scared you're right, and not because I root in any sort of meaningful way. I mean, at this point, I do like the Atlanta Trae Young story, but, like, you know, my life isn't going to change one way or another if Milwaukee wins this series. But I just want to watch a close game tonight. And Milwaukee covering 8.5 suggests that we don't have the type of close and competitive game that I would like to see. So I'm going to hope for, I don't know, but I'm going to hope for Hawks plus 8.5 to cash because I want to see a competitive game. I want to see something going down to the final minutes. Otherwise, I'll just have to flip the Dateline at that 9 o'clock.
What should I watch on TV?
We got a brand new Dateline NBC 1 hour special. Starts at 9 o'clock. 1 hour special because of the Olympic trials, but at least we're getting a 1 hour special.
That's fine. I'll take a 1 hour.
Listen, would I prefer 2 hours of Dateline? Sure. But you know what's better than 0 hours of Dateline on a Friday night?
Mm.
1 hour of Dateline on Friday night.
It's not like we're watching it.
I might actually turn this one on.
Are you going to watch this one? Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, I'm going to tell you all about it. I'm going to preview it for you, then I'm going to spoil it for you. I wrote a preview.
Okay.
Forgive me. I think it's too long.
Did you go too long for 1 hour?
I think so. Yeah. I did a lot of research on this.
Okay.
I spent an hour reading about this specific case earlier today.
I'm ready.
Courtney Copeland was an accomplished young man with a promising future, raised in the suburbs of Chicago. He was a high school basketball star. He was a friend and classmate of Chancellor Bennett, better known around the world these days as Chance the Rapper. He was the type of person everybody loved, and he was flourishing as a travel agent, so much so that his company had recently purchased him a BMW as a reward for his terrific work. Life was good, and then, just like that, his life was over. It was March 2016, a warm night in Chicago, when Courtney, a 22-year-old black man, was driving to a friend's home to stay the night. He was on the phone with her. He told her he was almost there, but when she opened the door, she never saw him. She waited and waited, but she never saw him. And that's because at some point, soon after that phone call, a single bullet flew through the driver's side of Courtney's BMW. It struck him in the back, pierced his heart. Courtney was able to exit the vehicle and flag down an officer whom he begged for help. But even so, less than an hour later, Courtney was dead. Another homicide victim in a city, far too many. There was no immediate person of interest. There was no suspect. This was not your typical Chicago is a war zone murder. Courtney had no criminal record. Courtney had no gang connections. This seemed random. Police had no leads. The investigation was going nowhere. So Courtney's mother, frustrated, decided to investigate the case on her own. And what she found, well, it was troubling. Courtney was shot in his car. Why was there no blood in his car? Why didn't police take him to the nearest hospital instead of choosing to pass two hospitals on the way to a third? And why, when Courtney arrived at the hospital, gunshot wound in his back, was he handcuffed as if he were a suspect and not a victim? Lots and lots of questions, very few answers. That's tonight on Dateline.
I feel like Keith's hosting tonight. We had a hiatus.
Josh Mankiewicz reports.
Oh,
they're not going to put Keith on a 1 hour. It's not
worth
his time. That's
true. It's a 1 hour.
It's not worth his time.
That's right.
They're not going to put Keith on a 1 hour. It's Josh Mankiewicz. Josh Mankiewicz reports.
Obviously something happened with the police. He was in handcuffs when he went. I mean, I think he got shot by the cops.
That is one theory. I should tell you, in a rare Dateline situation, this case remains unsolved.
I mean, so let me get this straight. He's driving to see his girl or his friend.
He's with some friends at a pizza place.
Yeah. But he's by himself, right?
By himself
in his car.
And when I say friend, like, he was going to hook up. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Okay, so he says he's on his way, and he never shows up. He gets shot. They say that he was shot in the car, but there was no blood in the car.
No blood in the car.
And then he gets taken to the hospital by the police that he apparently flagged down.
Right.
But he was taken in handcuffs.
Right.
So something happened with the police altercation.
That is one theory. Like, okay, because like the keep in mind, we don't have
A reason they handcuffed him.
We don't have
they have a reason.
We don't have Courtney's version of events. He's dead.
Right.
So the only he flagged down the police. You know who says that? The police. The police say that he flagged us down.
Uh huh.
And they're like, okay.
So if he flagged you down, then why'd you handcuff him?
Why'd you handcuff him? You encounter a gunshot wound victim and you handcuff that person?
Him? Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense to me either. Then you don't take him to the nearest hospital, and when he arrives at the third farthest hospital from where you are, he's handcuffed. When he's brought into the hospital, the nurse who took him has testified to that. So a lot of weird questions here, right?
Yeah.
The cops do nothing. They don't they barely try to investigate, which is another problem. And more than anything, that's what this Dateline episode is supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago, 47% of murders of white people are solved, which is low, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like half the murders of white people in Chicago go unsolved. But in Chicago, only 20%.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.